Well, I'm glad we were able to have church this Sunday. Last Sunday was a little bit slick. That's Missouri weather. They say if you don't like it, just hang around another day or two. It's changed. I want to talk today about when God fights our battles. Jesus promised us that He'd never leave us nor forsake us. But sometimes, when we're going through trials, we feel alone. And if we're not careful, we get in a pity party. And the enemy can come by and convince us that we are alone, that God doesn't care, and that you might as well give up. I want to talk this morning from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 23. I cut out some of the middle because I thought it'd be long, but it's a beautiful prayer. But this is about a king named Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, and he was facing an insurmountable army. And we're going to read this morning what the Lord does. It says, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Munites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord and their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley east of the wilderness of Jeruel, and you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord. On your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. In 931 B.C., the kingdom of Israel split into two kingdoms. This was after the death of Solomon. There was the northern kingdom called Israel, whose capital was in Samaria. In its time, it had 19 kings, and not one of them were godly. It was conquered by the Assyrians in 722 B.C. The southern kingdom, known as Judah, had its capital in Jerusalem. In its time, it had 20 kings, and 8 of them were godly. It was captured by the Babylonians in 586 B.C. Jehoshaphat's father, Asa, was a godly king who brought religious reformation to Judah. Jehoshaphat continued the reformation by sending priests and Levites into all the cities of his kingdom and having them teach the people from the book of the law. The enemy of God always opposes what God's people do, especially when there is a revival going on. Three kingdoms came against Judah, and the odds seemed to be in their favor. When King Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem, he asked God to put his name there and to answer the prayers of those who prayed to him there. God answered Solomon's prayer and promised, "If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Father, I thank you that your word never returns to you void, but it accomplishes what you send it out to do. I thank you for those who are here today. Lord, I know that there are struggles going on within this body of believers. You know them better than I do. But I know that people are struggling. People are fighting spiritual battles. People seem as though they're overwhelmed, they're frustrated, and they're scared. But Father, I thank you for all the promises we have in Jesus Christ, and in him we can say yes and amen. And I pray today as we study about your people Israel and how you fought this battle for them, that we will be comforted to know that you still fight your people's battles. I ask your blessing today on this. Anyone that doesn't know you today, may this be a day of salvation. May those who are struggling today come to know you in a better way. May they leave here strengthened and encouraged. And I ask this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. I said that anytime God's people are doing what God asked them to do, the enemy is going to come against them. You know, every year for about the last 10 years, I had read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And when I finish Revelation, I go back to Genesis to Revelation. I've been doing this for 10 years. I encourage you to do that at least one time. And something I learned in reading the Old Testament is that there is so much there that we can get from that, and it should be read. Because you see the character of God, you see His promises, you see God's Word in action. The way especially he deals with the nation of Israel when they were his people. Judah had had some ungodly kings, and Asa stepped in, and he called for a great reform. Not political, but religious. And he had all the idols thrown out of Jerusalem. He had the high places thrown out. He had all the priests of Baal executed or driven out. And he commanded the people to seek God. Well, after he died, his son Jehoshaphat came into power, and 3 years into his reign, they found a copy of the book of the law. And after it was read to the king, he had the priests and the Levites take the book of the law through the whole area of his kingdom, and he said, "I want you to teach the people the law of God because we've really transgressed." And there was a revival broke out in the land of Judah because the word of God was taught to them, and they all consented with Jehoshaphat to be God's people. And they said, "We're going to seek God. We're going to obey the rules of this covenant. We're going to be God's people." And it wasn't very long after that, it was where we come in on this story. Jehoshaphat is thrilled. Revival's breaking out. God's people are turning back to him. And there's only one thing that the book of Chronicles says Jehoshaphat did wrong. Ahab was king of Israel, was a very wicked king, And he asked for Jehoshaphat's help, and Jehoshaphat went down to help him. And if you're familiar with the story, there were these prophets there saying, go, for God's going to give you these people. And Jehoshaphat didn't feel right about it. He said, do you have any other prophets here of God? And Ahab said, there's one named Micah, but I can't stand him. He never says anything good about me. Sound familiar? Who's that preacher think he is? I've had people come up to me before and say, I suppose that sermon was aimed at me. I want to say, yeah, but I don't. If the Holy Spirit convicts you when the word's being preached, that's the Holy Spirit. Rick Johnson doesn't have that power or that authority. I preach the word. The word does what God sends it out to do. So if you're convicted, understand this morning, that's the Lord dealing with you. Don't take it out on me. If you want to, that's okay, but you're going to miss a blessing. If you start blaming the preacher, you're going to miss the blessing that it's the Spirit of God talking to you. Oh, church, get a hold of that truth. Well, anyway, Jehoshaphat said, oh, don't let the king say that. So this captain went and got this prophet named Micaiah, his preacher. And he said, now, Micaiah, all the other prophets have told the king to go. So you need to side with the other prophets. Boy, there's a lot of pressure today for preachers. You need to settle down, preacher. You need to kind of tone it down. Don't preach so hard against sin. People will think God's mad at them and they'll leave the church. Well, bless their little hearts. God hates sin. God put his son on the cross to bear the penalty of sin. The cross of Jesus Christ is God's final word on sin. God is saying to man today, you repent and come to me, or you get over here on the other side, but you make a choice and you stay there. And it's proof that God will judge sin. So Micaiah tells this captain, I will only say what God tells me to say. And he walks into the room and Ahab says, shall I go? And Micaiah says, go! God will give you the victory. And Ahab got mad at him. He said, how many times do I make you swear to tell me the truth? Well, why should I tell you the truth? You don't want to hear it. Micaiah said, okay. I saw all of Israel scattered on the hills as a sheep without a shepherd. He said, I'll tell you what else happened, king. I was standing in the throne room of glory. Now here the king's going, Micaiah, into that sacramental wine again. He thinks he's been in the throne room of heaven. But he said, and I saw the Lord saying, who shall I send to take Ahab to his death? He said, one spirit said one thing, one said another. He said, another spirit stepped up and said, I'll do it. And God said, how? He said, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And God said, go, you'll succeed. That seems kind of strange that God's making this kind of a deal with that kind of a spirit. But he is sovereign. God said, go. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't lie. So this lying spirit was going to fulfill what God wanted done. And as soon as Micaiah said that, the head prophet Zedekiah walked up and slapped him in the mouth and said, which way did the Spirit of God go out of me into you? And he said, well, you'll figure that out when you lock yourself in a tower. And Ahab was so mad, he said, put him in jail. Give him meager rations of bread and water till I return. And I love what Micaiah said. Well, king, if you come back, then God didn't speak through me. Well, when they got to battle, Ahab said, I got an idea, Jehoshaphat. You dress in the kingly robes, and I'm going to dress in regular armor. Chicken. He knew what Micaiah said, and I think Ahab thought, okay, if God said the king's going to die, Jehoshaphat will be dressed like the king. I'll be dressed like one of the regular guys, and I can go in here and fight. Well, it said the commander of the army had told him, don't fight with anybody but the king. And it said they all saw Jehoshaphat, and they went after him. He cried out to the Lord, help! You know, and it said he got away from them. Ahab got hit with an arrow by chance. So the archer pulled his bow back and hit him by chance. Ahab went to this place and he died. And it said Jehoshaphat got safely back to Judah. I bet when he got back, he went, phew, man, I'm never going to do that again. Ahab is on his own. And God sent a prophet to him and said, what are you doing defending the wicked? God said, I'm not very happy with you about that. But you know what Jehoshaphat did? He kept on with the religious reforms. He accepted God's judgment that that was wrong. He repented, and he started these reforms again. And now all of a sudden these people come and say, hey, Jehoshaphat, you got a big problem. There are three armies, three kingdoms have massed their troops together, and they're coming after you. And Jehoshaphat hadn't done anything wrong. But Satan always opposes what God's doing. When I was baptized at Bryan Creek by that ornery Pentecostal preacher, I'll never forget when I came out of the water, he come from the same background I did. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, brother, he said, this isn't to discourage you, but I want to warn you. He said, you think that you're going to be free from trouble now because you've come to Christ. And he said, I know how you feel, and that newness is on you. I can see it. But he said, you just hung a target around your neck for the devil to aim at. And he's coming after you. And he said, I just want to warn you about that, brother. Imagine the preacher saying that to a baby Christian. God bless him for telling me that. Because when the enemy came, I didn't go, what happened? We got these preachers on TV now spoon-feeding people, telling them, God just loves you so much, he's not mad at you. You just do whatever you want in the name of Jesus, and God will bless you. As long as you send your money to this ministry, God will bless you. Me and the kids learned this week that's called selling indulgences. That's what the Roman Catholic Church used to do. A coin in the coffer springs a soul from purgatory. When a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. That was their saying. And here this godly king is, and he's had religious reform, and everything looks like it's going as planned, and praise God, God spared my life in this battle, and man, the people are seeking God, and now all of a sudden this happens. And the Bible says Jehoshaphat was afraid. That's a normal reaction. Frustration is a normal reaction. Despondency can be normal reaction. That isn't sin. It's when you let that control your life, then you're sinning. When Jesus said be anxious about nothing, he didn't mean that you should never experience the emotion of anxious or worry or frustration, but Jesus was saying don't let that control your life. Because when you do that, you get over into Satan's territory and he will gut stomp you, Christian. Jesus said the thief came to kill, steal, and destroy. God was getting ready to judge this nation. He had already been working on judging Israel, and Judah was next in line because of their sins. And here's a king that repented and was leading them in God's way, and the devil says, I can't have that. Everything was going my way. I had my guy in there, and he died, and now God's got this guy in there. Well, I got to muddy the water. I got to discourage this king. So he sends his armies against him. And Jehoshaphat's afraid, and it's okay. But listen what he does with his fear. It says he set his face to seek the Lord. The army was large and overwhelming, but Jehoshaphat diverted his attention from the problem and focused on the promises of God and His Word. I read you the promise. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive them, and I will heal their land. This is what Judah had done. So Jehoshaphat approaches God, the covenant God, on the terms of his covenant. And these nations were three nations that when Israel came out of Egypt, God said, don't attack them. They're your brothers. There was the Seir, the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, and Esau and Isaac were brothers. The Ammonites and the Moabites were descendants of Lot. And God said, I have given them their land, leave them alone. And Jehoshaphat prays, and he says, God, you told our fathers to leave them alone, and we did. He said, look how they're repaying us, Lord, with evil. He said, they're coming against us, unprovoked. We haven't done anything to cause this. See, he realized that. You know, the first thing usually that happens to me, Christian, when I start getting in trouble, and when I start coming under fire of the devil, what have I done wrong? God, what did I do wrong? Why, you must be mad at me, God, or this wouldn't happen. You know, because I'm a child of God, and you're my daddy. You're my daddy, God. You're not going to let anything happen to me because I'm your kid. And I think, God, what's the matter? Have I done something wrong? And Jehoshaphat in his prayer, I didn't read you the prayer, he's saying, what'd we do? And then he humbles himself and says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's frustration. I don't know what to do. More Christians ought to pray that and get honest with God. I don't know what to do. I went and saw a friend of mine in the hospital. Boy, he used to quail hunt and fish and just love him like a brother. And he rode a 72 Harley Police Interceptor. Loved his bike. I liked the bike. And one day I got word that he had crashed out on 38 Highway. And I went to the hospital to see him, and they had him in bed. He had road rash all over him. He had a broken shoulder and a broken arm, and they had him all bound up, and they had him on morphine. And as soon as I walked in the room, he started crying. I was like, glad to see you. It's a biker, you know. And his wife said, it's the morphine. I said, it's okay. And I said, what happened to you, brother? He said, you know that illusion we have that we're in control? I said, yeah. He said, Rick, I was riding my Harley down 38 like I've done a lot of times. He said, just enjoying the trip, and I hit some loose gravel. And he said, all of a sudden, my Harley was riding me down 38, and it wasn't fun anymore. He said, the Harley's laying on my chest, and I'm going down the highway thinking, this isn't good. He said, I forgot I wasn't in control. He said, I let my mind be deceived into thinking I was in control, and I didn't watch what I was doing. Jehoshaphat acknowledged to God, I'm not in control. This is too big for me. God, our eyes are on you. And do you know that's what our Father wants us to do? Jesus said, God knows your needs before you even ask Him, but He wants you to ask Him. Why? Because if you don't see your needs, why should God intervene? If you're going to be proud and try to carry everything on your shoulder, God will let you have what you want, Christian. That's all right, God, I don't need help. God said, okay. Then when you finally do get smart enough, hopefully, to call out to the Lord, He'll say, oh, I've been waiting for this. You know, some people are a little thicker than others. I'm one of them. It takes me a little longer to figure out I can't do this. You'll make resolutions. God, I'll never do this again. Forgive me this sin. God, I won't do it again. And the next time you say, God, I'll try harder. I'll work harder. I'll go to church more. I'll read the Bible more. I'll pray more. And you sin again. And you say, God, I can't get victory over this sin. What do I do? And God says, I've been waiting for you to ask me that. Give it to me. Bring it to me. You see, they couldn't defeat this army, but God could. And the king humbled himself, and he prayed, and he said, God, our eyes are on you. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes on this Levite preacher. And he gives what the Pentecostal brothers call a word of knowledge. And the Lord says, you don't have to fight this fight. It's mine. Now, he could have said, you guys just stay in Jerusalem. I'll take care of this. And God can do that. But he didn't. He said, tomorrow, the enemy's coming up this path, coming in this direction, and you meet him. But he said, you'll see my salvation. You don't have to fight. Well, how come we can't just stay in Jerusalem? I'm kind of lazy. That's what I'd have said. Well, can't I just stay here? You mean I got to walk all the way out there? Got to put on all that armor. God said, yeah, I want you to walk out there and meet that army. So the first thing that Jehoshaphat and Judah did, they humbled themselves. They said, God, this is too big for me. I can't do this. They asked God to take care of it. God said, don't be afraid of this great horde. He says, I want you to go out there and I want you to meet them. The second thing they did was by faith they received the promise of God's word. You know, they had the Torah, the books of the law. They had the five books of Moses, but the rest of this was being written as they went. So God gave His word. God's Spirit came on this Levite preacher and he said, God is saying to us, I'll fight the battle. So they had to receive that by faith. How do I know they did? Because it says early the next morning, Jehoshaphat and all of Judah got up and went to the battlefield. Now before they did that, they worshiped. When God said that, Jehoshaphat hit the ground. Said he fell on his face and he worshiped. And the Levite singers, David had instituted the singers because he liked music. It said they got up and praised God with a loud voice. You don't do that unless you're believing. Now we come in here every Sunday and we sing praises. And I know from experience that there are some of you in here that you're just miserable as you can be. You're hurting. You're tore up on the inside. And it's hard sometimes to make yourself sing. But the Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. And these people in faith sang. The Levites got up and they shouted and they sang and they played music. And I don't think any of the Jews said, that's kind of loud. You know, that's a little bit jiggity. We don't care for that. We've never heard that before. They're worshiping. And the next morning, it says they get up and they go out to meet the army. But I like what Jehoshaphat does. It said he took counsel with the people and he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise Him in holy attire. So he got the Levites and the priests out there, put on the priestly garments that consecrated them as God's priests. And he said, you boys march out ahead of the army. We're right behind you and you sing praises. What are they singing? Blessed be the Lord, whose love and mercy endures forever. And probably in the back of their mind, some of them's thinking, and I sure hope His mercy's here now, because that's a big army. Can you imagine the closer they get to that army and they see these three kingdoms? And Jehoshaphat says, he turns around and says to Israel, take courage and be strong. God will keep His word. Believe in the word of the Lord. That's what the Adams Clark commentary says. He literally says, the ESV and the King James and them say, believe in the Lord God. And Adam Clark says, the Hebrew literally says, believe in the word of God. Believe in the word of the prophets and He will deliver you. I sure hope so. Now, let's be honest. We've all been there. God, I hope this is your will. Well, I know God's will be done in this situation. Well, what's His will? I don't know. That's your fault. I pray for my lost children every day. You know why I pray that every day? Because I know that the Bible says it's not God's will that any of them should perish. So I can pray with confidence. And John says when we pray according to His will, we know we have the petitions desired of Him. Brother Mark stated it in his prayer, we can enter the throne room of grace boldly. In time of need. Are you in time of need? If you're a child of God, you have every right to enter the throne room.
the Holy of Holies in heaven itself, the place not made by hands but created by God, where God Himself is enthroned. And the Bible says, Christian, you can go into that room anytime you need to. Somebody ought to say amen. Man, anytime I need to, I can walk into the presence of my Heavenly Father, and I'm praying His will, His Word, He watches over that. And I know He's working on those kids of mine, and I thank Him for it. No, some of them still just meaner than snot and just act like they ain't got a sense in the world. But I still say, thank you, Father, because I know you're listening to my prayers and I know you're working on them. Can you imagine what those armies thought when they said, well, here they come. And earlier, Asa had an army of about 300,000 numbered. So that's an impressive number. But this army evidently outnumbered them. And could you hear some of the soldiers go, are they singing? Listen to that, man. They're singing. Idiots. Well, just let them sing. Come on, Israel. We got something for you. And they're singing, bless the name of the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. Amen. Bless the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. And they're going, ah, listen to them guys singing, man. They're walking right into their death. And one soldier elbows another and said, you know they need them. I said, I never did care for them very much. Kind of cocky. They live in the cliffs. They're untouchable, but they're down here on the ground now, and they're pretty touchable. Never have liked them. Neither have I. Hey, well, let's attack them. We'll still have enough people to fight this army. Let's get rid of the Edomites. So it says they turned on the Edomites. And here's the Jews going, bless the name of the Lord, for His good and His mercy endures forever. And they're slaughtering these guys. And I think when they started slaughtering, the singing got a whole lot louder. Bless the name of the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. And then when they got done killing the Edomites, it says they turned on one another. That Moabite looked at Ammonite and said, I never have liked you either. You're ugly and your mother dresses you funny. And boy, they just started going at it. They started sword fighting and hand fighting. And the whole time the Israel or Judah's just there going, huh? And they wiped them out, each other. Never lifted a sword. You think they had church when that happened? Oh, yeah. They had a shouting party. Said it, they took 3 days to gather the spoil. They went out and took the best of the clothes, the best of the weapons, the best of the food, the best of the animals. Just walked right in there. And every time they walked past a dead soldier, I'm sure they thought, look what the Lord did. We were so afraid of you. We were overwhelmed by you. And look what the Lord has done. My Bible says one day the judgment seat of Christ will be set up. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. We'll be there to see that, saints. We'll be there to see old Gabriel get him by the scruff of the neck and the belt and do the bums rush and just pitch him right into the lake of fire. And Paul said, then the scripture shall be fulfilled. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? That's what God promises in His Word. Now, we're here on this earth. And this morning when I was praying over this message, I had it wrote. Don't think that I just wrote it today. The Holy Spirit led me to another section of Scripture, and I know you're thinking, oh, come on, man, I got a roast in the oven. If He gets into another Scripture, we'll be here all day. I'll just share it with you. It's out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul's talking to the church because they're going through some terrible persecution. And he says, God has put this wondrous power of His into these vessels, weak vessels of clay, so He can demonstrate His power. He's talking about you, Christian. God has placed His Spirit in you so He can display His power in you. My addiction to alcohol was bigger than me.
but it ain't bigger than him. My addiction to sexual sin was bigger than me, but it wasn't bigger than him. I stand before you this morning sober and clean because of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. Nothing that I've done, I can't take credit for any of it. I had a guy tell me one time, "Boy, your wife must be a heck of a woman the way she's changed you." And I said, "She is a heck of a woman, but she didn't change me. Jesus Christ changed my life. And I love her second to him. And I expect her to love me second to him." Oh, church, get a hold of this. Paul said, "We're perplexed." What? A spirit-filled man who was healing people, and the Bible said people would bring handkerchiefs to him and Paul would pray over them and they'd go lay him on the sick and they'd recover. He's perplexed. A guy that's got the Spirit operating like that? Yeah, because the enemy's now on him. And Paul said, "We're perplexed, but we're not in despair." See, Christian, that's where we get in trouble. If you're here this morning as a Christian and you say, "I'm perplexed," you're in good company. Paul said, "I'm perplexed sometimes, but I'm never in despair." Why? Well, because the one that's in me is greater than the one that's in the world. All Satan can do to me is kill my body. And it may have been foolish, but when I agreed to enter into ministry, I told the devil that. I was praying at that altar, and I said, "Satan, if you want to shut me up, you got to kill me." Almost did last year. But praise God, God wasn't done with me yet. No, he told me that before I went in surgery. The night before I went in surgery, I wrote a letter to my wife and all my kids just in case I don't make it. And I was thinking about if I don't make it, I thought, well, if I don't make it, I'll wake up in the throne room of glory. Praise God. And the Lord spoke to me in my mind. He said, "I'm not done with you yet." Okay. And the elders came and prayed with me, and I wasn't afraid. It's like, okay, I'll see you when I get out. And I love it. The surgeon said that after they got everything done, they usually push these drugs to start your heart. He said, "My heart started beating again." Just boop, boop, boop. I think God said, "Save your drugs, boys. I'll get his heart going again." Church, God is moving in this congregation. He's been working here since I've been here and probably before. And let me tell you something, don't take this wrong, but take this as the God's honest truth. Some of you have been resisting that. You're afraid of it. Well, if God moves, we might grow. I want a little family church, a little tight-knit community church. That's unscriptural. The Church of Jesus Christ is called to influence the culture that it's in. We ain't been much culture influencers, church. We want to set inside our walls and say, "Let them come, Lord." And the Lord's saying, "Go get them, church." God's going to move whether you move or not. And if you won't move with Him, He'll find some more just like you. Willing to move. But Satan will and is opposing us. Now, some people might think that I've got a little bit, you know, Rick sees the demon behind every bush. No, I don't. But I know when the enemy's working. Because I have the Spirit of Christ in me, and He tells me. He's rebuked me. "That's the enemy, Rick. That's not that person. Get your eyes off that person. That's not who your problem is. This is your problem." And I can say with the Apostle Paul, "When I am weak, then I'm strong, because the power of Christ rests on me." God said to Judah, "This is my fight." He didn't tell him to set it out. He said, "I want you there. I want you right on the front lines." And I imagine they had their weapons. I don't think they were so presumptuous to say, "I'm not even going to put my armor on." I'd have been clad from head to toe. I'd have had every weapon I could carry just in case. Some of them, you know, just in case God wanted us to fight a little bit. See, Asa met an army of the Ethiopians with 1 million. He had 300,000 soldiers. 1 million Ethiopian foot soldiers, 300 chariots came against Jehoshaphat's father. And Asa prayed and said, God, we're in your hands. And he went out there with them 300,000 men and said they slaughtered every man out there. Outnumbered more than 2 to 1. And they wiped them out. And Asa didn't go, ooh, I'm bad. That's right, we bad. They didn't do that. He said, thank you, God. You're the one that got us through this. Stand with me this morning, please. Church, Jesus is involved in every affair in this church, private and corporately. He loves you. If you're His child, He is on your side. And what you and I have to learn to do is, as Jehoshaphat did, is humble ourselves. When we get frustrated, don't get despaired, because in disparity, you can walk right into Satan's arena and you can die there. If you give up, you're going to die. But I'm not asking you to fight in your power. I'm asking you, as Jehoshaphat did, to say, Lord, our eyes are on you. Church, let that be our prayer. Join me in praying for revival. I am praying for revival not only here, but in the Assemblies of God, in this church right here down the road, in the Presbyterian church. I'm saying, God, pour out your Spirit, anoint your people, let the church break out of the walls that they're in, and let us start influencing the city of Mansfield. This city is demonically oppressed. There was an evangelist came here visiting from another church, made that mention to one of the pastors on the board. He said, man, Satan's strong in this town. He's a lot bigger than you and I, but he's not bigger than our Lord. And remember, Jesus commands us to influence this culture we're in. Jesus says, go. Some of you have done that. Some of you are volunteering, and you're doing Bible studies, and you're going into nursing homes and places, and you're sharing the love of Jesus Christ. There's a lot more of you need to be doing that. You need to be saying, God, what do you want me to do? Don't worry about what my neighbor's doing. What is your will for my life? And if you're brave enough to ask that question, he's truthful enough to tell you. As we sing our song of invitation, if you've never received Christ, we ask you to come and do that. If you're away from Christ, I ask that you not leave here in that condition, but pray and ask for His forgiveness. He says if you confess your sins, Christian, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If you're here this morning and you're fighting with the enemy, let me encourage you in the name of the Lord, God will fight this battle. You just be there and do what He asks you to do, and just trust in His word that He's going to fight for you. Would you come as we sing, I Surrender All?